Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. Now, we have a special guest for you today. A good friend of our ministry is back, and I know you'll be getting a lot of information that's going to bless you today. So get out your notepad and your ink pens, because you're going to be wanting to take notes on all this. It seems like every time that John Meacham comes on, I mean, we could talk about anything, really. John, just to give you a quick update, John spent 8 days at the Sea of Galilee in 2005. During that time, he received a new revelation from Christ that involved messages that spoke of the state of the seven churches in today's modern time. In his previously released work, Is Your Church Heavenly?, it details both his experience and the messages he received, and I recommend that book to you. You need to check out all the information he has over on his website at dazzlinglight.org. John, welcome back to the program, man.
Well, thank you, Pastor Bob. It's good to be with you again, and I know you're recovering from a recent illness, and I'm thankful that you're willing to spend the time today to do another interview.
Amen.
Want to let you know, today's a big day for me.
Yeah.
Today, 37 years ago today, I saw the dazzling light of the glory of God.
Amen.
Now, a lot of people say, now, what is that? And in the scriptures, it's interesting that the Bible that I had in my hand when all of this happened was actually a Bible from Amity Presbyterian Church. You and I have talked about the AIM program. I'm going to talk about that more today. And in this Bible, when it refers to the glory of God, which is the way a lot of the other versions refer to it, they refer to it as the dazzling light.
Mm.
And what I wanted to do, and what I've tried to do, this is, I appreciate your saying that about the book, Is Your Church Heavenly? This is from another book I did called Divine Revelation, A Call from Christ to Join the Armies of Heaven. And what this book consists of is some divine revelation experiences that I have had that basically the Lord has used to prepare me for the work I'm doing now. As we've talked about, I am John the Apostle from the Bible, and the Lord has used these divine revelations to get me ready for my work to prepare the way for Jesus' second coming, which, as we've talked about on numerous occasions, I'm doing right now. I don't know if I said this in our last interview, but since 2015, to get people focused on that, I've sent out over 50,000 messages, and they've been seen over 50 million times. But still,
Amen.
That's just a spit in the bucket compared to some of these other things. But we've already done two of these. We've done the divine revelation, Born Again, and we've done the divine revelation, God Speaks. We're going to do a little bit more on the subject of God Speaks today, and I can't thank you enough for refocusing me on the AIM program, because, to be honest with you, I was a little despondent getting ready for today. The church has just dived deep into the darkness. I mean, there's no other way to look at it. The church is in the darkness. I saw this huge article on MSN this week, the 25 richest pastors in the world. What on earth did we come to that the measure of the quality of a pastor, a preacher, is money? I mean, it's really bad. And what makes it worse for me is I've been studying Paul's letters. And Paul, you know, he's so clear that the church is about spiritual nature. The church is about spiritual riches. The church is about the unseen things of heaven's glory. But here, it's all about human nature. It's all about physical aspects of life, and I think now, today, and I'll try not to get back on this subject again, in my opinion, I really think that the church of today is more a reflection of the world and Satan than it is a reflection of heaven and Jesus Christ. But, you know, that and a dollar will get you a cup of coffee at McDonald's, but we'll move on to today's subject.
Amen.
What I've tried to do with each of these divine revelations is to begin each chapter with a scripture verse. Now, the reason that is, I've had a lot of things that have happened to me that I don't reveal in a lot of situations, only because it really doesn't have application to the larger Christian population. But these divine revelations do, and I think anytime someone comes up with something like this, myself included, we need to be able to show that this is a reflection of Scripture. So the person that I feel the most kinship with is Ezekiel. This is actually the last time Ezekiel saw the dazzling light. It was around 2,500 years ago. And, you know, he was called to restore the temple, and I feel a call to restore the church. I don't know if he succeeded. I'm not sure I will at all. I think when Jesus comes back, it'll all be on him. I will not have done very much. But in this passage, you'll hear about the dazzling light. You'll also hear about where Ezekiel heard the voice of God, and which is what we talked about last time in God Speaks, where I heard the voice of God. Before I get too deep into this, I want to remind your listeners that this is all I'll be reading from my book, Divine Revelation. My publisher went bankrupt, so there's no copies of this for sale. But if someone would like a free copy, all they have to do is to go to my website, dazzlinglight.org, send me an email, and I would appreciate it if they'd mention Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Mm-hmm. With their name and address, and I'll be glad to send them a free book, and I'll even pay the postage.
Amen. We'll appreciate that.
Well, this is chapter 4, The Dazzling Light, and it opens with this passage from Ezekiel 43, verses 1 through 4. The man took me to the gate that faces east, and there I saw coming from the east the dazzling light of the presence of the God of Israel. God's voice sounded like the roar of the sea, and the earth shone with the dazzling light. The vision was like the one I saw by the Chebar River. Then I threw myself face downward on the ground. The dazzling light passed through the east gate and went into the temple. Now, like I said, my experience similar to this happened 37 years ago, and again, I'll be reading from the book. And if you don't mind, I'll just read this story rather than trying to elaborate and try to remember all of it.
Okay, all right.
During the first few months after giving over my life to the Lord, he gave me three hard-hitting and life-changing instructions. You read about the first two in the previous chapters. In this chapter, I will share the instructions he gave me January the 7th, 1983, and the message God gave me to deliver to the world. That message is, reflect the light. I share these experiences to help draw you into a much deeper relationship with the Lord, one in which he can communicate with you on a similar level, if he chooses. I share them to enlighten and hopefully inspire you. That day, the Holy Spirit led me outside our home on Wild Leaf Court, much like he did 2 months prior. In the pre-dawn sky, I saw reflected colors of purple and orange illuminated off thin gray clouds. On this cold winter morning, the sky seemed pregnant with a hint of snow, but was overtaken by these colorful gray clouds. I hadn't fully recovered from hearing God's roaring voice in November and feared what the Holy Spirit might show me next. We walked down my front steps to the middle of the front yard and then turned north. I shivered, mostly at the cold, but also at the sight in the sky. A cloud formation that looked like perfectly formed gigantic black cylinders stacked on top of each other stretched a mile in length across the northern horizon. Each appeared to be approximately 50 meters high, stacked 10 high and rolling. Rolling from top to bottom, this majestic cloud formation moved toward our house. These clouds stopped rolling when they reached the treetops beside our house. Suddenly from between two of the cylinders, a glorious yellow light appeared and descended toward me. This beautiful glowing radiance looked like four 100 by 100 meter diamonds, each with four sides and connected at their right and left corners. The entire dazzling light structure measured close to 100 meters high and 400 meters wide. As the dazzling light flew toward me, I dropped face down onto the ground in absolute terror. My body temperature felt much hotter than a 104-degree fever I experienced years before. I thought for sure I would die. Just before the light overwhelmed me, I looked up to see the dazzling yellow diamonds transform into an iridescent white Moravian star, which flew into our dogwood tree. Then just as suddenly as the dazzling light appeared, both the light and the dark cloud disappeared. I continued to kneel on the ground, unsure whether I was dead or alive. The reality of the moment set in when the cold morning air enveloped my glowing hot body. I went back inside to the kitchen table to finish my devotions and Bible study. What did I see?
Amen.
What did I see, I asked God. Then as before, when I asked about whether or not to settle with my hit-and-run accuser, the Holy Spirit instructed me to hold the spine of my Good News Bible, to watch for the parting of the pages, to open the Bible to the parted page and receive the answer to my question. I opened my Good News Bible to where the pages parted on 380 in the Old Testament and read, as the priests were leaving the temple, it was suddenly filled with a cloud, shining with the dazzling light of the Lord's presence. 1 Kings 8:10-11a.
So it just the Bible just blew open to that page?
No. This is what I wanted to talk about today. If you know what the spine of a book is.
Yep.
Okay, and I've actually got my old Bible here with me so I can remember these days and these times. The Holy Spirit would tell me to take the Bible, hold the spine, and watch the pages, okay? And a little crease would form in that page, and I'd open it up, and there this was. This was actually the second time this happened to me. The Lord with me uses normal type activities to explain things that are going to come. One of the divine revelations we're going to do is I've had three dreams of Jesus' second coming, but the Lord had to use another dream to get me used to dreams coming true. This was kind of the case here. The Lord had to use a similar situation with the opening of the pages to let me know he's going to instruct me by this parting of the pages. Now, I'll tell you, this is not a biblically based story that has application to everyone like Ezekiel and all that. This book, Divine Revelations, opens with the police at my front door.
Oh.
And the police are at the front door because this lady had falsely accused me of hit and run on one of the local roads in Charlotte, North Carolina. Well, the police ended up, when he was talking to my wife and I, eventually said, I called my magistrate and he said, this is a felony and I have to take you down and lock you up. So here he comes to the house, he takes me down, and he locks me up. Well, my dad gets me out and, you know, I'm just at a loss at what to do. And my dad hired me an attorney, a very good attorney. The attorney talked with the lady that had accused me. And he said, she's willing to settle. But, you know, my ex-wife and my, you know, our first impressions were, I didn't do anything. Why should I settle?
Yeah.
So the next morning, you know, and actually this is all happening. Remember we did the story about being born again on 10/24/82. This is happening right after that. All of these things are going on at the same time in late 1982, early 1983. So I'll read you from the book what happened next after the attorney asked me, do you want to settle?
Okay.
During my devotions the next morning, I asked God, what should I do? The Holy Spirit led me to take hold of my Bible by the spine, watch where the pages parted, open the Bible to the parted page, and to look for my instructions from the Lord on that page. I followed the Holy Spirit's instruction and the pages parted to the section in the New Testament where Jesus told the gathered crowd for the Sermon on the Mount. If someone brings a lawsuit against you, takes you to court, settle. Settle the dispute with him while there is time before you get to court. Once you're there, he will turn you over to the judge who will hand you over to the police who will put you in jail. Matthew 5:25. After thanking God for such clear instructions, I called my attorney and instructed him to settle. I wrote a check to my accuser for $150 and never heard from her again.
So even though you were not guilty, the instructions were to go ahead and settle.
Exactly. You know how Helen always talks about me? John's obedient no matter what.
Yeah, yeah. Amen.
And I am. I mean, you know, how many times does the Lord ask us to do something that all of the world around us says is wrong? Don't do it.
Amen.
And I think this was, you know, I hadn't remembered this stuff in years, and I can't thank you for bringing these things back to mind. Everything I do now, in other words, promoting my YouTubes, talking about Christ's warning to the world, talking about Jesus' seven messages, telling people, you know, the churches in the pits, telling people about all these experiences. Pastor Bob, everybody in the world around me says, don't do that. People will just think you're delusional. Don't do that. They'll think you're nuts. Don't do that. Nobody wants to hear that. So the world around me, and I know you've experienced this on multiple occasions, is telling me, don't do it that way.
Right.
Fight the case. Fight it. You're innocent. But God didn't say that. He said, settle.
Amen.
And I wrote that check for $150 and I never heard from him again, ever.
Amen.
So sometimes we have to realize God's way is not the way of the world. I mean, Paul tells us over and over and over again, it's either God's way or my way. It's either the way of the spiritual nature or the way of human nature. And you got to remember, this is all brand new for me. I was born again just a few days before this happened. And all of a sudden, you know, I have to go to the scripture in my morning devotions, and I have to hold the Bible, watch for the parting of the pages, take the message from God, and do what he told me to do.
Amen. Plus, you'd probably spent more than $150 just in law fees. Legal.
You have no idea what that attorney cost. He was the best attorney in Charlotte, North Carolina. My dad always got the best. He wasn't cheap. Believe me.
Yep. Amen.
But, you know, it was also a sign to me that, you know, look for this parting of the pages, because that would place significance here on January 1983. I would have to go in and look for the parting of the pages and get the answer to my question. But you remember at the time that all of this was happening, and we've talked about this before, the church I was attending, Amity Church in Charlotte, North Carolina, was going through some significant problems. This is when we were coming up with the AIM program, which is basically a shepherd group program designed for spiritual growth. So guess how? It's got 5 years, five key passages. Guess how I found out what the passages were for each of the years?
Okay.
Parting of the pages. Amen. Was the way the Holy Spirit led me to the five passages that are the key passages in the AIM program, the passages that are in the Bible study. You've inspired me too. I'm doing a series on Facebook now where I'm doing a series of posts for my YouTubes, but in getting ready for this today, and I've revisited all this AIM stuff. My next series after that will be Bible study from the AIM program, these five passages, because they're so key. Well, I thought we'd spend a few minutes just kind of talking about these because, you know, God is trying to lead people away from the world to look to heaven, away from human nature to spiritual nature, away from the darkness to the light. So the first passage for the AIM program, the pages parted in this same Good News Bible sitting here on my desk to page 215 in the New Testament. And on that page, I saw immediately life in God's service, Romans 12, 1 through 21. And the theme for that year is put God first.
Amen. Amen.
And, you know, it really, you know, that got us started. You know, one of the key verses for me has always been, let God transform you. Why is that so important, Pastor Bob, for us to let God transform us?
Well, he's the potter, we're the clay. He'll transform us into what he needs at that time.
Is that what we want?
It doesn't matter what we want. You know,
but human nature.
To yield. Well, of course not. We want to, you know, kick back and take it easy and have God provide everything for us. But, you know, if he says, go do this, and that's what he needs you to do, we're supposed to be obedient to that. But if we just say,
obedient.
Well, that's not my plan, well, we're not here to work our plan. We're here to work his plan.
What is the old saying? The best laid plans of mice and men?
Yep, that's
God's
right.
Plans never fail, but the plans of mice and men often fail.
That's right.
You know, I keep, and I'm sorry to keep dwelling on this, but, you know, the Lord has called me to keep studying Paul's letters to the churches, and I think as much as anything to realize how distant we are today from what the church should be. And I read a passage this week, and I'm not good on chapter and verse, but I think it was in his letter to Timothy or Titus or one of those guys, maybe even been Galatians. But what Paul said was, you know, I'm always blaming it on the people in the pulpits. It's their fault. You know, they're the false prophets. They're not prophets, but they're the false teachers. They're leading us astray. But Paul said the people in the pews are going to find somebody in the pulpit that's saying what they want to hear.
Oh, yeah. Yep, the itchy ears.
Well, Joel Osteen, you know, I speak so badly about Joel Osteen, but those people out there in that arena in Houston and those 40 million people that watch him all over the world, they watch him because he's what they want to hear.
Yeah, yep.
They want to hear the prosperity gospel. They want to hear how they can line their pockets with more money. They don't want to hear what the old-time Baptists used to say, what the fire and brimstone, you call it. I mean, They don't want to hear about our own sinful nature. They don't want to hear that we have to transform ourselves. We have to turn away from the world to be what God wants us to be.
Amen.
They want Joel Osteen to show them how they can make more money in the world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's, you know, the same trick that the devil used with Eve in the Garden of Eden. You know, oh, God's holding out on you. If you do it this way, you get to be just like him. You know?
Exactly. And I don't even think they want that anymore. I think they just want a good trip to the grave. You know, in my writings, I call it a safe, secure trip to the grave and the waiting arms of Satan.
Amen.
If we live our way, if we're living our human nature, if we're doing the best I can to, you know, to do all the things that will make my life better, will give my family a bigger house, my family a bigger car, you know, give all the kids the current model of cell phone. That's what I want today. If I'm an American living the American dream, I don't want to know how to be transformed away from that. I want that.
Yeah. Yep. They want it easy in this life, thinking that's
going to
get them into the next life easy, but it's the opposite.
And this just came to mind when you said that, and I can't thank you enough for saying that. Remember, one of the people that suffered the most in this life, maybe the most ever, was Jesus Christ. It was not easy for him. At the end, at the cross, it was his mother, it was his aunt, his cousin, and two other Marys. Everybody else had deserted him, and the Jews, the people he was here to save, had asked the Romans to crucify him, and they had nailed him to a cross.
Yep.
It didn't turn out very well for him.
In the natural.
In the natural life, sure, but that's what people today want. They want the natural life.
Yep.
You know, and moving along to year two, okay, we got the pages parted to page 215 in Romans 12:1-2 for years one, And our theme, let's say, for that year is let God transform you. Okay? Getting ready to you know, the committee liked all of that, and they said, okay, let's go with the full 5 years. So I go home, and in my devotions the next day after that meeting, I hold the spine of my Good News Bible. I watch for the pages to part. And the pages parted on page 126 in the New Testament. And this one just jumped off the page. This is, I guess, my favorite passage, my favorite chapter in the whole Bible. This is John chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. And the theme for that year is Born in Christ.
Amen.
And the key verse to me now, today, I don't know that it's always been this, is you must be born again.
Hey folks, Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time for today's episode where I've been interviewing our good friend John Meacham. Now, as you know, John's written this book, and we've been going over it chapter by chapter because we want you to understand that the soon return of Jesus is happening. And he's telling people through dreams and visions. And John has experienced some of this, and he's been sharing with us. Today, the episode was about reflecting the light of Jesus, the dazzling light. Now, if you missed any of the prior episodes, go back and catch up, because all of this is so relevant to what we're going through. But more importantly, come back tomorrow for part two as we conclude this portion of the interview with John Meacham. Till then, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.